Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
I am doing well. Good morning, sir. I don't know if you noticed or not, but I wore my jeans and my cowboy boots in honor of Mr. Steve Jobs, who, of course, I think most everyone probably knows by now, passed away.
That's right. Is that in honor of dressing up like Woody from Toy Story, one of the Pixar company that he was the CEO of? Is that what you're referring to, that Steve Jobs?
Yes, but I was trying to be more like Steve. That's my new motto, you know, be like Steve. I thoroughly enjoyed the part of the Anderson Cooper thing that I saw last night, and they walked through the timeline, and they showed just little bits and clips, and I see our guest nodding her head, so she saw it too, of, oh, man, this guy, what a contribution this gentleman has made to our society. So I think it's something we all ought to aspire to, and, you know, we're going to miss him, man.
Definitely made an impact on us, but how we consume the things we consume every day, phones, computers, movies. Super guy.
He was a neat guy. But we got a super lady in the studio this morning. In a little while, we're going to visit with someone with taste of Atlanta if they can get through the traffic of Atlanta.
That's right.
And so we'll look forward to that a little later in the program. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Miss Nancy Bistritz with New Run. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thanks so much, Stone. Good to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. New Run is an interesting name. Is there a story behind the name of the company?
You know, everyone asks us that, and there is, in fact, no real name or story behind the name. I think it's a clever palindrome, so that's, you know, it's
Lee doesn't know what a palindrome is.
It's an animal at the zoo, right? No.
It's the habitat the animal lives in.
Oh, sorry.
Spelled the same way, front
backwards.
And, yeah, backwards and frontwards. So,
I knew that.
Yeah.
Bob. Right.
Or mom.
Otto.
And there is, you know, there is a little bit of a story in terms of the way it sounds is a new run of thinking, a new run of doing things differently. So I think that's as much of the story as possible. There isn't, you know, as much as I'd like to tell this deep story, I don't think there's much more than that. But everyone asks us, what's the story behind New Run? And nobody pronounces it right. Everyone gets it differently, depending on where you are in the country. Or
so what are some of the funny pronunciations?
Nurun.
Nurun?
Nurun, which it's
Nurun?
It's clearly
okay,
New Run. I've gotten Nurun before. It's often said Nun Run, and I don't know where that's coming from. But
maybe the R and the U run together?
I'm just so used to people mispronouncing my last name, so it doesn't really bother me that much. So
yeah. How do they say it on the West Coast? And I ask because a little birdie told me you got some new things happening out that way.
Yes, we do. Very exciting time for us. New Run, in addition to the no real story behind the name, has clearly grown over the years through acquisitions. In fact, our Atlanta office was originally Ant Farm Interactive, and New Run acquired Ant Farm in 2005. About a year or so later, New Run acquired a shop in Madrid, Spain, and that was Crazy Labs. So we have a presence in Madrid and Barcelona. And then a short while after that, we acquired a shop in China. And these are, you know, full shops. This is not two guys in a garage. These are full shops. So it's allowed us to grow globally as an organization. And about 2 weeks ago or so, we actually made a very strategic decision and acquired a shop on the West Coast called Otopod. And it's a big deal for us. Otopod is a great group of individuals, got a very unique way of thinking and doing things, very much in line with New Run. And about 2 years ago, New Run sort of rebranded, relaunched itself, and really started thinking, breathing, speaking, and living the whole design thinking concept. And that was a concept that was developed by IDEO several years ago, about 10 or 15 years ago. And we really take that design thinking and really apply it into the digital world. And Otopod was very much in line with that, the way they work with some of the biggest names, huge names around the world. They were really in line, and I think the planets just kind of made it perfect for us to come together. And so having that, you know, sort of bookended on the United States with a West Coast presence and an East Coast presence is really, really great for us. And I think great for the clients that we serve, too, because we've got a couple of West Coast shops or a couple of West Coast clients now. So that's good for us. So
can you talk a little bit about this design thinking and how it it works in terms, just kind of maybe educate the listener a little bit about what it is, but specifically talk about how a PR firm can incorporate something like that into their offering to their clients?
Yeah, I mean, the whole design thinking concept was, again, started many, many years ago by a gentleman by the name of Tim Brown with IDEO, and it was a consulting company. And the whole idea was to come up with ways of focusing on the customer and really starting to dig into what the customer needs and ideating and really, you know, coming up with potential solutions to different challenges at a very quick clip. You weren't dragging thinking out for months and months and months and months, but you were just really bringing in different people into the mix to come up with different kind of marketing solutions. Mm-hmm. And you were really, really honed in on the customer, what the customer needed, what the customer wanted. And to what Steve Jobs has said, even before the customer knew what they wanted. So that was really the whole concept of design thinking. There is a specific process that you go through, and it is quite a lengthy process, and it's one that really takes dedication, it takes learning, it takes time, but it's really about ideating, prototyping, you know, failing soon and failing often.
We got that one nailed.
We've mastered the failing.
And not being afraid to. I mean, it's sure. All about, you know, let's come up with an idea. And I think one of the other things that it involves is it involves bringing different people into the mix. You know, like I'll give you a perfect example. At New Run in the Atlanta office, we're structured like, you know, a advertising marketing agency, right? So we've got our creative people, we've got our account service people, we've got our marketing services people, our campaign management people, and our project management. So When we sit down and look at a project, we've got all those people looking at the project through those different lenses.
Right.
But a design thinking process might bring in, you know, might bring in and say, you know, an accountant, you know, who might bring in our financial controller and say, let's bring her into the mix and see how we could look at this through her eyes, because She may come at it from a different perspective.
But how do you, when you're working with a client and you're kind of educating them on this process, it's probably a lot different than they're used to.
We're used to working with marketers and, you know, our typical, you know, front-facing contact is a senior marketing individual who's being told by a CEO, I need results from you, and I need them fast. And at the end of the day, it's all about ROI. And So the marketer's looking at it from numbers and products and services and all these things that I have to get to by the end of the quarter or the end of the year.
Right.
And it is a very big shift. It's a very...
This seems like more of a long-term kind of perspective you have to have rather than a next quarter perspective.
Very much so. And for a lot of organizations, it's a very, very different way of thinking. I mean, You've got, you know, one of the things I think Stone and I corresponded about before this interview was, you know, how the customer has changed, how the marketer has changed. And we are very, very slowly but surely starting to see very traditional, very historically traditional marketers saying, you know what, this whole mass advertising and blast advertising that used to work just ain't working anymore.
Right.
It's not working anymore. It's not working for them. It's not working for their customer. And so we are in the most unique places, and I wish I could talk about something very recent that is a perfect example, but I can't. But it was a very...
We'll take your word.
Yeah. Very historically traditional marketer who was actually coming to us saying, okay, we sort of get this. We sort of understand that we've really got to focus very specifically on the customer. And it's not even just here's a type of customer. It's each customer and the journey that a customer takes depending on the product that they have and the service that they have. I mean, when you talk about your customers these days, it's no longer just, and again, because Apple's so much in my brain this morning, it's no longer just, you know, a customer purchasing an Apple product. They are purchasing the entire experience, the value of the brand, The customer service, the product, the upgrades, the potential for everything.
Everything has to be integrated. Everything has to be congruent in the mind of the customer nowadays.
Absolutely. And they are so less tolerant than they were even a year ago.
Now, has it impacted the way New Run goes to business, goes to market in terms of getting their own customers?
It really has. It is, it is definitely shifted the, I think, the way we've looked at potential clients and really looked at them as, you know, if they're not going to fall into this mindset and they're not going to be willing to let us come in and help them think this way,
you got to pass, right?
It's probably not going to be a good fit.
Right.
And, you know, that's a tough way to do business. Whereas I think, you know, several years ago, it probably would have been like, just get some business.
Exactly. You'll take anybody, right? You have to be that much more selective if you're going to go along those lines in terms of kind of a corporate strategy, I would think.
And it's definitely much more fun for us.
Yeah. Well, you can be yourself more.
Right.
Instead
exactly.
of force fitting kind of a square peg in a round hole.
Exactly. And I think there's definitely places within our organization that, you know, adopting that whole design thinking methodology and a different, design thinking for digital and creating digital utility. That's the other big thing that we hang our hats on at the end of the day, is creating some kind of digital utility for a customer. And it doesn't necessarily mean utility, like it's got to have some kind of use for the customer, and it doesn't always have to be a utilitarian type of use. It could be, maybe it just makes them laugh or they enjoy it, or it makes them, you know, it's got some kind of utility for them every single day. And
right.
that utility means a lot of different things to a lot of
sure.
different people. It's not always about creating an app or a device or a product or anything
right.
like that.
It could be a smile.
Could be. Absolutely could be.
Well, I have an idea or a question about ideation. And because I've participated in some of these things, and it was a lot of fun, and we got to squeeze the little matchy ball, and the presenter was funny and entertaining, and we had all these great ideas going around the room, and a lot of them really were great ideas. What do companies do, or should companies do, with all the great ideas that go unused because we landed on the one we're going to execute? Is there some methodology or best practice for the
unused? They put it on a Craigslist, an idea of Craigslist. Right.
Ideas for sale. I think that's a great question. I think I know that when we first started doing that, one of the biggest questions is, well, how do we go about doing this? I mean, some of the people who work for New Run really came from environments where that kind of thinking wasn't really really inbred into them. And so it's definitely a different way of coming at things. I think what we had to do is really, quote unquote, lock down on the brainstorming. I mean, there's definitely a process to it. There's definitely a way of, brainstorming sessions that I've been in some marathon long brainstorming sessions where you just sort of go off on a tangent and there's no real structure for it. But
they can really get away from you.
Right. And ideas start floating around. You're like, wait a minute, didn't we talk about that like 3 hours ago? And it's all over the place. And I think, down to the bare bones of taking notes, videotaping sessions, things like that, and capturing all those great ideas and keeping them, and really testing a bunch of different ideas, you know, first. I think that's a really good way of doing it. I think you've got to test those ideas, see if they work.
Like, how do you test it? Do you throw it out there to the public?
You can do that. I mean, we pride ourselves a lot on testing and measuring very, very quickly. We're out there, and especially our marketing services team, which is doing a lot of, you know, different things with display advertising, online, and really, you know, trying something out, testing it for a couple weeks, seeing if it works. If it does not work, then we are going to alter something. We're going
right.
to change it. We're
so
going to change
tweaking.
It.
It's a lot of doing and tweaking.
Exactly.
Rather
exactly.
than just kind of sitting in some room, just trying to come up with the perfect idea
yeah.
in your head.
And the good thing is it's digital, right? So you can test it and measure it very, very quickly versus, you know, your more traditional way of marketing or advertising, which it's going to, the availability or the chance to measure it is going to be a little bit longer.
Right.
So, you know, the fact that we're digital, we've got a campaign management group that actually, you know, checks everything out.
So are you testing like through Google AdWords? Or
yes,
those kind of
exactly.
Things?
Google Analytics.
Just quickly getting some messaging.
Correct.
What this works better than this, the A-B testing kind of
thing. Right. And we're seeing it just like at a rapid clip. I mean, it's unbelievably quick. And then, you know, also from, you know, if
way you take the subjectiveness out of it because, you know, a lot of advertising historically has been subjective.
Right. And the other thing is, you know, we've got sort of a dashboard that we create for executives at the different client organizations that we work with that really it has all the analytics, everything that they'd want to see if we're working on a site for them. We're putting their site analytics. How many people are coming to the site? Is this particular page that we just launched last week, are a lot of people coming there? Are they, you know, where
how
are they?
How long are they staying there?
Right. Yeah. Where are they abandoning on the site? And how do we need to tweak that? You know, so everything from site analytics to campaign analytics, we're watching very, very quickly and very, very closely. And if there are things that we need to tweak, we can absolutely tweak them, you know, lickety-split. Right. So
cool.
Now, does New Run specialize in a specific industry or a certain strata size of business, or do you enjoy working with some more than others?
You know, it's interesting because the different offices around the world, I don't know if this was by design or by default, have been, you know, certainly when I get contacted by the media or I get requests for interviews or anything like that, certain offices of ours around the world have become almost like hubs for expertise. Like if you look at our work, we have we're headquartered in Montreal. If you look at our three offices in Canada, Quebec City is really our e-gov sort of hemisphere. They're like the beacon of all things e-government. They do a lot of work for the government, a lot of things on site for the government. Our Toronto shop has really become an expert in retail and e-commerce. So anything that has to do with retail, and especially building a very successful e-commerce strategy for organizations. They work with Home Depot Canada. That's their largest client. And anything that has to do with retail and e-commerce, they're my that's like the red phone to them. But then our Paris office, now Paris office is very, very cool. They've got 200 and some odd employees working out of Paris, and they have the luxury, the retail. They're working with Tag Heuer. They're working with Lacoste. They're doing some amazing things out of our Paris office. So, and then Atlanta has kind of grown into this very much a marketing services. So we've got the only group of folks in our Atlanta office who can actually work with clients from a display media standpoint. So do that online media buying and planning, which is so important to a lot of different companies. And also we've got a little bit of a niche in the B2B space. So we're very unique on that front. So depending on which office it is, it's you know, it's,
they all have their own personality.
They do. They do. And Montreal is sort of our back end development part. So everything that's going on in Montreal is a lot from the whole back end part of a website, the technology, the development part of a website. So
well, that's good that you get you can offer your client best practices from around the world. Really,
it really, really is. And we very, very frequently and it's really, really cool. I've seen, we have a client out of Atlanta. It's a Charlotte-based organization. And I think at one time we had 7 offices working on this client.
Wow.
You know, so it was really, really interesting because, and again, these are full-blown offices. And the cool thing is New Run, in addition to doing a lot of things with social networking, one of the ways we communicate internally is through Yammer. And that's huge, huge, I mean, I cannot tell you, I've always been a fan of the New Run network and I'll pick up the phone and call anyone. We have VoIP phones, which allow us to call 5-digit extensions to anyone around the world. So I can pick up the phone and dial 5 digits and call China. And then Yammer has really, really opened the doors for us and allowed us to communicate and say, you know, look, I've got this client who needs this kind of information. Does anyone have any expertise on this? I'm working on this RFP. Does anyone have any expertise in this? And we've actually been able to win business because of somebody's ability to get on Yammer, ask a question, find the answers, and get back to the
it's
prospect.
It's just the speed, right?
It's speed, and it's...
That's your own, for the people who aren't familiar, Yammer is like kind of your own private Twitter feed.
It is. It is. And it's just amazing. And I was really, really pleased to see so much of the network picking up and using it. And, you know, for
so
people...
So you have
who,
an app on your phone, a Yammer private
I
app
do.
Your...
I do. And on my desktop, I have the feed that comes in. So I see everyone. And the interesting thing is that NewRun... You know, like I said, we're headquartered in Montreal, and the majority of our company, English is not their first language. It's French.
So you have, like, French going through. And
yes. So most of the people speak French, but their ability to get on Yammer, I mean, again, most of them speak more than one language. We're probably the only the only office that speaks one language, but most of our company speaks, you know, at least two languages fluently. And that's really, you know, to see so many people using Yammer and, you know, speaking in English on there and really making the effort to communicate, it's very, very cool.
So what if I wanted to come down and visit you at the Atlanta office, but I didn't want to leave my golden retriever, Kara, in the house all day? Do you have some sort of solution for that?
We do. We are a dog friendly office in Atlanta, and we love that. We love our dogs. And that traces back to the Ant Farm days. One of the co-founders of Ant Farm Interactive had two great golden retrievers, and she would bring them into the office every day. And so we actually negotiated with the landlord of the building that we're in that we were allowed to bring as many as five dogs in a day. And
as many somebody counts?
There was a calendar.
There's a dog sheriff.
There was a calendar. Well, they get very, you know, you have to go through the service elevator and you have to take it out and, you know. So we do allow dogs. And I think it really does do something to the office. You know, my supervisor in Atlanta, Bill Lawrence, he'll bring in his dog before, and it's just really cool to see people kind of, you know, got their little dogs by their desks, their little dog beds. And so I think it's a really cool way to kind of lighten things up. And I mean, we had a digital strategist who always used to remind me, oh my goodness, she's like, you know, it's just marketing, for goodness sake. So I always try to keep that in mind. It's just marketing, for goodness sake. It's
but
not,
it's so memorable. I mean, it's one of the things that I remember about having an opportunity to visit your place. Before we let you go, I want to hear a little bit about some of your activities outside the office, particularly with associations. I understand that you're on the board of BMA. You got a lot of stuff going on in your world.
I do. I have been privileged to be included on the board of the Business Marketing Association, which is great. I'm very, very excited about it. I felt bad this week because I was actually moving on Tuesday and Wednesday and couldn't go to the meeting yesterday, but we have some wonderful things going on with the BMA. First things first, there's a new board president, Martine Hunter, and she is an amazing woman. And I have, in the few times that I've dealt with her on the phone and over emails, she has just got such a passion for this and has got wonderful things planned throughout 2012, which is amazing. I mean, most boards that I've served on are, you know, kind of working on their programming maybe 2 months in advance or 3 months in advance. She has got things mapped out through 2012, which is phenomenal. And, you know, to have an organization, so many times, you know, we look at B2C organizations and I think B2B is almost like this, you know, this sort of left behind, and they've got very, very unique challenges. I mean, what a B2C organization looks at in terms of ROI and challenges and how they're going to approach things like social media and tablet technology and everything else is very, very different from what a B2B organization is going to do. So I think to have a dedicated group of people who are really passionate about that B2B space and understand the unique nuances of it, I think is a wonderful thing. So I think you're going to see some great things coming out of the BMA this year. I'm also on the TAG marketing board. Which it's kind of neat because there is a little bit of a little bit of overlap going on with the BMA and TAG marketing. So we've got some great people who are on that board as well. Again, really, really passionate, not just about technology, but about the convergence between technology and marketing. So that's really, really exciting. And And then the third thing I do is I'm very active in the Lupus Foundation of Georgia, the Georgia chapter. And they continue to do some amazing things. They're led by the most amazing woman here, who's got more passion and energy than I could ever imagine. And just great things continue to come out of that organization as well. So a lot going on, but all good things.
What a delight to have you back in
Thank
the studio.
You.
I love visiting with you and learning
Thank
more
you.
About what New Run is up to. And it seems like every time we talk, you have a new acquisition. We could probably make you a good price on a radio network,
exactly.
but we could talk about that after we go off the air.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Absolutely.
What's the best way for our listeners to get in touch with you if they'd like to learn more about New Run?
Best way is to check out our website at www.newrun.com. We also have a great blog that we launched this year called Digital for Real Life, all one word, and it's a lot of fun. I'm a regular contributor to Digital for Real Life, and it's all about making digital a real part of someone's everyday life.
Well, this has been an absolute blessing. We got to have you back, and Lee, what I want to do, if you're up for it, I'd love you to come back with a delighted client.
Absolutely.
And get a chance to hear from their perspective.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Are your clients here in town? You have
we've
local
got
clients?
Some. We've got some who are local, and we've got some who are out of state. Yeah, they'd love it. They'd love it.
Cool.
That'd be fun. Hey, listen, can you hang out with us for a little while we visit with our next guest?
Absolutely.
All right, good stuff. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, and I may say your last name wrong, but I'll give it a shot, Miss Dale DeSena.
You got it right.
All right, with Taste of Atlanta. And you got to get right in there and wrestle with that microphone. Drunk karaoke is what we liken it to.
You
Dale.
Can't get too close.
That's right.
Okay.
Sometimes there's lipstick on it, and that's why we switch out these little fuzzy things. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, I got to tell you, Taste of Atlanta, that you ought to be able to get on any show, on any medium that you want to, with a calling card like that. And we're certainly delighted to have you. But tell us more about it. What's Taste of Atlanta all about?
Well, Taste of Atlanta is a three-day food festival here in Atlanta. And we're celebrating our 10th anniversary this year. It's really everything food, everything from 80 restaurants that you can have taste from. We have three live cooking stages. We have a food studio, which offers educational seminars free to paying customers who come to the festival. But it's just really an educational experience where you can learn about food, taste food, and also learn about wine, beer, and cocktails. So who doesn't like food and wine? And I get to do it every day.
Now, is this one of those events where you pay one fee to get in and then you pay like and get tickets and everything costs a little bit? Or do you pay one thing and then everything's free? How does it work like for the
well,
consumer?
Well, over the 10 years, we have found that in order to eliminate a lot of food waste, we do, there's one ticket price and you get taste coupons.
Right.
And each taste coupon will get you different tastes. So you could get a milkshake from Johnny Rockets for one taste coupon. You could get some shrimp and grits from
Oh, baby. J. Christopher's.
They go a little from more upscale than that.
Yeah, a little bit. But we love J. Christopher's. You know, and there is a time and a place for every restaurant. That is one thing I like to say. We really look at all of the white tablecloth fine dining restaurants, and we have many of those who are part of our festival. But we also really look at the neighborhood favorites. And I always say to people, everybody asks, what's your favorite restaurant? And I'm not allowed to say what it is. But I have many, many favorites because, you know, sometimes at, 8 o'clock in the morning before we head out to Lockheed to watch the Blue Angels, you want to go to the Waffle House, you know. But then again, on a Saturday night, who doesn't want to go to Rathbun's and have a wonderful steak dinner?
And speaking of Rathbun's, you have Kevin. It's going to be...
That's right.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Something?
Kevin will be with us this year. We are starting a kickoff party Friday night called the Big Grill. Mm-hmm. And Kevin will be out there having some amazing taste.
And Kevin Rathbun is Iron Chef. He's been on.
He's
made the
like
rounds
the
of all
deal.
The food network shows. I saw him on the Great.
Oh,
the,
way cool.
What was it? The food truck show.
He did. He was one of the judges for the food truck show.
Nice.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, this year, too, Kevin is going to be leading one of our wine seminars. I believe it's all about Pinot Noir and steak. So the one thing that we do at our wine seminars, which is for VIP ticket holders, You will have four different wines to taste along with a food pairing for those wines. So Kevin will be leading one of those. You'll have to check out the website to know exactly what day it is. We have so many wonderful programs that my brain is overflowing with all of the good things.
Right. You have also Aaron Sanchez appearing.
Correct. Aaron Sanchez, right. From Food Network.
Food Network. He's on Chopped all the time, right?
That's right. He's one of the judges, and he actually has a couple of TV shows of his own,
right.
Along with several restaurants in New York, and he's doing a House of Blues consulting gig with, I think it's out in Las Vegas. But he's all over the map. But he's an awesome guy, great entertainer, an amazing chef.
Right. This is one of the big Atlanta events.
Well, it sure sounds like
this is like a staple event for the last 10 years, right? Wouldn't you say that this event is a must? If you live in Atlanta, this is one of those things you got to go to every year.
It really is. And, you know, I think so many people look at this event as, oh, it's so crowded. There are too many people. It's really not that crowded. I mean, we really try to spread the festival out. It takes place in Midtown at Spring and Fifth, which is the center of our event. we take up about 8 to 10 city blocks. And, you know, it's one of those events, I have to say, that I've been in the festival business for almost 20 years now. It's an event that I would want to go to.
Right.
And I'm in my 40s.
Yeah.
I mean, people get scared of them, but don't be scared. It is the best way to taste 70 different restaurants in one day.
Right.
So that you can find out where you want to go, what's new, what's hot. I mean, STK restaurant that's coming from Miami and New York, they will be at Taste of Atlanta this year.
Wow.
And they haven't even opened yet. They're
right.
going to open, I think it's mid-November. At the Lowe's Hotel. So there are so many great restaurants for you to get a taste. And that really leads into the whole mission of the festival, which is turning tasters to diners.
Right.
We really want to help our local restaurants. We want to support the local chefs. You know, business is tough out there right now. The
sure.
economy is, you know, taking a hit on a lot of people. But there are just so many great restaurants that you can experience at a great price point that you can afford.
Right. It allows you, like you said, you get to see the city. You get to kind of meander through 8 blocks of Atlanta downtown.
Fun
and you
stuff.
Get to try, you know, the best restaurants in town and knock it out in an afternoon or two.
And we have great entertainment. You know, we have 3 live cooking stages. One is called Home Plate, and that's really for a lot of our Atlanta chef-driven restaurants. So we've got Ford Fry and Drew Beline and so many awesome chefs that are doing themed demonstrations that are almost like dueling demos. one of them is The Best Thing I Ever Ate. You know, there's that show on the Food Network. But we're really looking at, for a chef, what is the best food that he ever ate?
Right.
And it may be something that he ate at a restaurant, you know, in Paris, in somewhere around the world that he really likes to recreate at his home. So there are just so many great topics that people can learn. And we do provide recipe cards, actually, from all of the demos that we do.
Oh, so if you go to one of those little,
like
the little tent and taste the thing, you can actually get a recipe card for
yes,
that?
Yes, you can.
Is that new?
Yes, you can.
No,
nope, we've been doing it for a long time.
Really?
I mean, there are people who come up to me and say, I have like 50 recipe cards.
It's like and, a collectible.
it is a collectible. And that's the great thing. You know, I'm all about eating, but I think it's all about educating people as much about what you're eating. We have a wonderful family food zone cooking stage that's for kids and moms and parents because, you know, the whole gluten-free
right.
Epidemic, or maybe not an epidemic, but it's concerning parents. And so
sure.
we've got a demo on the stage with Betsy from Urban Plate to tell parents how they can cook healthy meals for their kids. We also have a Top Chef Kids cooking competition that's going to be a lot of fun with kids doing the cooking.
Wow.
And kids are going to be the judges. So
there you go.
So it's been a very interesting program to book.
See how many variations of macaroni and cheese there can be.
Well, oh, really? Funny you mention Barilla Pasta. Barilla is our sponsor.
Yes.
And no one has been told their secret ingredient yet. So they're going to find out.
They're
going to find out tomorrow. No, we figured with the kids, we'll give them 2 weeks to practice in their kitchens.
Right.
So, you know, let mom and dad just worry about it for 2 weeks.
Well, when I get in my 40s, I hope I've had the kind of experiences yeah. that she said. No, it sounds like great work if you can get it. How in the world did you find yourself in this line of work? Give us a little bit of a feel for your career path.
Well, I started, I've been in Atlanta since a very long time. I won't say exactly how long, but my path started really with an ad agency in town and led to sales, print sales. And then I found myself starting a custom publishing company. And my very first client was Chastain Part. I worked with Alex Cooley and Peter Conlin with Chastain and
Southern Productions. Right?
Exactly. And had, I mean, an amazing experience working with them. After my first year, Alex said to me, you know, Dale, I would like to start a music festival. And I'm like, oh, that sounds great.
How exciting for you, know? You right?
Right, exactly. That sounds awesome. Let's do it. So, you know, my experience really was selling advertising and selling sponsorships.
Right.
But I had never done anything that big. I know Alex knew that, but I never led on to believe
right.
that. Sure, I can
yeah,
do that.
No problem.
I can do that. No problem. And really, you know, worked on Music Midtown for 10 years. Actually, I think it was 9 years. I worked on Chastain for 12 years. I also worked with the Atlanta Dogwood Festival for 10 years.
So you got this event thing down. If you were
right.
working on those kind of things.
Oh, we were working mm-hmm. on big events. And the great thing was I was the marketing, design, sponsorship person.
Right.
And my teammates were logistics and all right. the other things that I didn't want to get my head around. But the interesting thing was that, you know, it's amazing what you learn sitting in those meetings.
Sure.
So I took tedious notes and said, wow, one day I think I can do this myself.
So that's how this started, Soup to Nuts? This is your show now?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yep. So I said, you know, there was a Taste of Atlanta many, many years ago. Mm. It was actually at the Southern Bell Building, opened up the Southern Bell Building. That may be dating me. But I went to that. I can remember going to that. And I remember going, gosh, this could be so much better. This
right.
could be so much better. And so I really got together some focus groups and talked with a bunch of chefs and did some R&D for about a year. And Food Network actually had just started, just like a year, 2 years prior to me starting Taste of Atlanta. So people really learning about food was new to them.
Right.
TV food on TV was absolutely
right.
new. And so I said, you know, we'll start Taste of Atlanta. So,
and now
funny,
they're popping up in every little
they are everywhere.
They
are
taste
everywhere.
Of wherever, you know.
You know, and that's the one thing. I mean, we do not have anything to do with any of the other
right.
Taste of festivals. I wish them all the best. I hope they're successful.
Yeah, but there's only one Taste of Atlanta. That's
right.
The other
true.
Ones are like these little pockets of.
Well, going yeah. forward, she should have like this whole certification process where it could be Dale's Taste of Atlanta or Dale's Taste of Birmingham, right?
right.
Do you do events for other people, or is
you know we do? We do. We used to do a lot more. I will tell you, I have a 6-year-old son now, so family
busy, right?
thing kind of keeps me a little busy. But you know, we help out with the Atlanta Arts Festival that was mm-hmm. in Piedmont Park in September. And we're we try to be very selective about the different events that we work on. You know, we really want to do the best work that we can.
Right.
For
and this event, I'm sure, takes a lot of your time.
It really does. And again, I think that, you know, you were talking earlier about service and the experience. And those are things that are key to a successful company.
Sure.
You know, I am as concerned about the trash overflowing and my staff picking up trash if they see it, as I am that the patron who walks in the door has the best experience that they
right.
can. And I think that is what makes our event successful. We don't oversell the event. We really, you know, I don't want to go to an event with super packed. I really
right.
want to keep it manageable, and I want to keep it manageable for my restaurant.
Right. Because those are your customers. Your
absolutely.
And what's a win for them? Like, how do they, when they leave, you know, at the end of the weekend and the thing's over, in your mind, what do you feel you would like them to have accomplished?
Well, I think there are many, many expectations that I have that I'd like to work with each restaurant on is, again, reinforcing the turning tasters to diners.
Right.
I really want them. We've even set up a partnership this year with Constant Contact because so many times these restaurants are just worried about the lunch and the dinner that they've got today, and they're not thinking about next month.
And the customer for life kind of mentality.
Exactly. Right. But even we've got the holidays around the corner, sure. You know, I mean,
and
Halloween,
and
a big holiday,
right, the big
catering
parties.
For Thanksgiving, right. Christmas, holiday parties. You know, they really have to use this time, you know, to sell our patrons. I mean,
right.
These patrons not only are consumers, but they have a job.
Right.
And they work for companies that need food. They need
right.
catering. But again, I think, too, one of the few festivals in the city, we also do a revenue share with our restaurants so that the restaurants do pay a fee to participate
right.
at the festival. And with that, we pay... it doesn't even cover all of our costs,
right.
but we
no,
pay
you
for...
Right, you have a huge infrastructure to put all this together. That doesn't
right.
happen
we,
by magic.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And I will say, and we'll come back to it, but I have amazing sponsors. Amazing sponsors. But first, on the restaurants, you know, they pay a fee, and then they try to... make their food, they produce their taste that they're going to be serving, and they charge 1, 2, or 3 taste coupons.
Right.
And I pay each restaurant 50 cents for every taste coupon they collect. People can purchase additional taste coupons for $1 a piece or 10
right.
for $10. And so at the end of each night, we are counting taste coupons,
right.
And then I write them a check. And I have found that it's a wonderful win-win situation for everyone. And I want them to feel like they could be making money as much as they're making new customers.
Right.
I think marketing and branding, we have an extensive ad campaign from print, television, radio.
Right. I know you have almost every media outlet out there. Is
well, we don't have everyone.
Well,
we
have quite a
we
few.
Are a little choosy. We right,
quite
right.
A few.
We are, but again, we choose well, you know. And fortunately, I think a lot of these stations have done work with me and with my events
right.
that I've done before. So again, it's all about reputation, and I think they trust the good work that we do. That we will honor and provide and fulfill everything that we promise
right.
And above and beyond that. Star 94 has been just an awesome partner. Dave FM has been fantastic. Kiss 104, you know, it's about looking at different niche pockets that each one of these stations provide.
Right.
And we put them with a different area of the festival to make sure that they again, too, it's about their branding and their customer loyalty and how
and they
can
reach their.
Absolutely.
Right.
So
yeah, it's very collaborative.
It is. And honestly, that's where when you say, oh, Dale's festival, you know, it's really not my festival. It's really the city of Atlanta's festival.
Right. At this point.
It is. I mean, it's growing and morphing, and it's, you know, it has my vision. But again, I welcome everybody to give me ideas and suggestions. I mean, I'm not one to act in a vacuum where I know everything that everyone wants. I
right.
think, you know, we really try to look at trends and look at what food is about, what, you know, it used to be that the whole local sustainable, you know, using your local farmers was the new hot thing. Well, we had a farm to festival cooking stage for a number of years. And
right.
honestly, this year we've taken it away. It should be the standard. I think every
right.
chef should be buying tomatoes or something from their local farmer. I think that, you know, again, buy local. You need
sure.
to buy local, support your neighborhood, your community. I think that, you know, we really just look at trends and try to see what is new, what's upcoming.
Now, what's the best way if somebody wants to take part? It's coming up, right? It's only
in
a few
weeks.
Days, couple
We're
weeks.
In 2 weeks.
So what are the dates and what's the website so people want to, can you get tickets now or you have
Absolutely.
To?
Absolutely. No, no, no. Yes, you can get tickets now. The website is www.tasteofatlanta.com. Very easy, tasteofatlanta.com. You know, we also sell tickets online. Ticket Alternative is our ticketing company. And the event is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Our kickoff party Friday night is a little different from the Saturday, Sunday. It is more of an all-inclusive, all-you-can-eat drink with the 13 restaurants that are grilling.
Right.
And then Saturday, and so it's October 21, 22, 23 in Midtown at Tech Square.
And then there's a regular admission and there's a VIP you mentioned as well.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
Can you tell us what the
difference
is? Yeah, the VIP is for radio hosts.
Exactly. No. Just for you.
That's right, that's right. The VIP ticket is such a deal. I mean, it is $75 in advance. You get 15 taste coupons and you get entry into the wine, beer, and cocktail experience,
right,
of which there are five restaurants in there offering up free taste.
Wow.
So they're like the SDK and Three Sheets, and there are a number of awesome restaurants that are in there as well. The general admission is $25, and that includes 10 taste coupons. And it also includes, you know, you can watch all of the cooking stages, grab
right,
a seat.
Right, you get access to all that
right,
stuff.
Right, and also included to our Inside the Food Studio, which is an educational seminar area under a big white tent that's led by Tom Sullivan. He's kind of our James Lipton of inside
right,
the food studio.
That's right.
Yes.
Cool. So it's coming up just a couple weeks away, and you can just go to tasteofatlanta.com to get more information.
Correct.
Right? Cool. Well, thank you all for listening, and we will see you all next week on Atlanta Business Radio.